not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life. All right, welcome back to the podcast. We are excited today to have Alex Zendejas in studio. We are going to get a chance to hear her story and find out about her dream to become a teacher and what it took to get there. I think before we started recording, not only was she inspired to do this, but she also inspired others along the way. So we're excited to hear some of that story in your journey. So welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
We really appreciate you making the time to come on to our podcast. And really what we've heard, right? We've heard some of your backstory a little bit. We would like to share it with the rest of the group. Your story, right? So if you could, maybe we'll begin as a childhood, right?
Let's get to know her first.
Yeah.
All right. Let's rapid bad, fire this already, thing.
Oh, you're right.
Put her through the gauntlet.
Okay. You're right. My apologies.
I'm ready.
Just 10 rapid fire questions here. All right. Married or single?
I'm married 22 years.
Any children?
Two boys, 18 and 20.
City living?
Fellsmere, Florida.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or book?
My favorite movie is The Notebook.
Favorite genre of music?
Reggaeton.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Reggaeton. We'll play it later.
You have to play some later. Add it to at the end. Reservation or just walk in?
Reservation.
Oh, finally.
Yes. Finally. Okay. Talk trash on us.
No. Okay. No. I think it's okay.
Ever?
Yeah.
No.
What if you're going Chick-fil-A?
Well, come on. Don't ask us silly. There's no reservations there.
No.
Oh.
Keen likes to make reservations at Dunkin' Donuts.
That's not true.
Just throwing that out there.
Jesus
Christ. I didn't know you could make them at
there. You can't.
Oh,
okay. He's got the secret.
Favorite type of food?
That's a good one. I like Chinese, Mexican.
Chinese. What's your favorite dish in Chinese?
I like the beef and broccoli.
Okay.
Oh, Mongolian beef or something. Okay. What kind of car do you drive?
A red Camaro.
Ooh.
Which is my car, dream car.
Nice. Big money. Beer, whiskey, or wine?
We are going to go with Patron, which I think it's...
Tequila.
All right.
Yeah. Fair enough. On board with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tequila with some sal beer.
Salt and lemon.
Yes. Yeah, mix it with beer.
No.
Sometimes. Well, no.
By itself.
He's taught me this. This is really good. Sometimes. Delicious. So, I agree with tequila by itself. I'm going to drink tequila. I'll drink it by itself.
Yeah, I'm with you on
this.
He'll
take a sal beer... Drink down the neck and then fill that neck back up with tequila.
Okay.
Add the lime.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
And, I do it by itself.
Don't do it because then you'll be like.
Yeah, don't do it. We don't want to cause a habit to start, you know.
Well, but it's good to try new things.
I don't know. Yeah. It's good to try things.
Good to try new things.
Yeah, exactly. So now that we've gotten to know you a little bit, right, through the 10 fire rapid questions, if we could maybe get a little bit of backstory.
Sure.
So actually right now, what is your current profession?
Sure. Right now I am a kindergarten teacher. I teach at Fellsmere Elementary School. This is my fifth year and I went to school in Fellsmere. So I'm so excited to be back in my hometown. This is where I went to school. I still remember my kindergarten class and I'm very excited and I love to work with my people, my children, my town, my people that saw me grow up and that they can see me and they can see how I did it so they can do it. And that they know that I'm, you know, I was part of them and I was one of them.
So you're a fifth grade teacher. I'm sorry, a kindergarten teacher. This is your fifth year.
Yes.
And so currently, if we could start back to when you were a kid, right?
Okay.
So what What happened when you were a kid that made you want to become a teacher?
When I was growing up, I've been here 41 years, which is all my life. I was born in Mexico because my mom was on vacation. So after the vacation, she came back. So then I get going back to school. I started school when I was 4 years old. And I still remember those days when I would go to school and cry every day because I did not understand what they were saying to me. I didn't understand what they were trying to explain. So it's very hard. And then when you go back home, it's different because the cultures are so different. So even though I lived here all my life, when you would go home, it was a totally different way of living. So when I used to go to school, I used to cry, of course, and think, what am I doing here? Why am I here? But in the back of my mind, I always knew that I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to show these kids that it was going to be okay to go to school and, you know, feel the way I was feeling and that it was going to be okay. So I continued going to school. I had lots of good teachers that always believed in me. And that was something very important that they always reminded me, oh, you're so smart. You're going to be able to do this. You can do this. You can do this. And I never forget that. So then as years goes by, I want to go back. I'm in high school and everything good. Well, one day we were supposed to get together with a couple of groups because, you know, in high school how they do their, like they team you up with like a group and then you have to do like a presentation. Mm-hmm. And I go home and I said, Dad, I need to go to my friend so-and-so's house. He's like, why? I said, because there's a presentation that I need to do and I need to be there. There was two boys and two girls. And of course he said, no.
It's a big no-no.
And I said, excuse me? You don't understand. This is important to me. This is my grade. This is something that I wanted. I have to do. And he said, nope, you are not going to anybody else's house, especially if there's boys there. So now that for the teacher was like, what a big deal. I mean, go do your work. But for my dad, that was a big deal. So I ended up not going to the group. I ended up not being part of the group. And I ended up getting an F for that project. It really got me and really messed up my scores because I was, you know, an AP honor roll. And my daddy never understood how important it was for me to go and do my project. He was thinking, you know, culturally, like the way we, you know, my dad thought that that was a no-no because there was boys there. I never understood. But now that I'm, you know, grown, I'm like,
as a dad of two daughters, I get where he's coming from. But so going kind of backtracking to what you said, it's kind of two different cultures.
Yes.
Like the school-based and kind of what you see when you're not with parents and at school. Yes. And all the different demographics all coming together and getting all these different cultures mixed in. And then going back into what your parents know. Yes. And what you know with them. How did you, because it sounds like you had some difficulty there. How did you kind of go through that? So were you a different person when you were at home compared to where out? Or did you just find a balance?
Definitely.
There?
I had to be a different person to survive. Mm-hmm. When I was in school, my friends would always have like these cool ideas of to get together and do this and do that. And I was never included because they knew that my dad was never going to let me. So a lot of times I wasn't around friends anymore because I was by myself because they felt like I was never part of them. But it wasn't me. It was my dad that obviously didn't let me. So then now,
was that part of your drive to want to be a teacher? Was going through all those struggles?
Yes. Because I understand as a teacher. See, my teacher in high school should have sat down with me and said, I understand that your dad, you know, where your dad is coming from, and let's try to do something else, give me another option. Yeah.
Do you feel that the teacher did understand or
no.
Do you think they might not?
No, because I never told her.
Oh, okay.
I was embarrassed to tell the teacher that my dad was, you know, protecting me from the boys. So I never told her, and I regret not telling her because maybe she would have helped me. So when we stand up over there in front of the class to present our presentation, I had no clue what we were doing, and she noticed. So she took me out of the group and said, "Why did you help?" And I had to explain, but she never really said anything. So
you did say it.
I did after.
Yeah.
After.
But even then, I feel like, and I think, you going into teaching probably as a good teacher should understand that.
I think so. Yes.
Or even if they missed it in the first beginning moment, they would hopefully come to realization somewhere in the conversation that, you know what, maybe I need to understand something better where they're coming from. Cause it wasn't like you didn't want to.
No.
Yeah. So I get like not knowing the complete story, but you would hope a good teacher would try to.
There's a human element.
At least
to
understand
it.
Yeah, that I'm not, you know, she saw my grades. It's not like she's been like, well, I don't do my, you know, she saw who I was. So she knew me. So at least to give me the opportunity to do it in another way or do it by myself.
But
or,
I mean, that was obviously a, I don't want to say almost a traumatic experience in your schooling career.
Yes.
And you do think that kind of turned you to definitely wanting to be
a
teacher? Because you're older at that point. So you're seriously thinking about what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Yes.
If you're in high school. Or hopefully you're at least starting to think about what you're going to do.
Yes.
That was so you have this traumatic experience and you think that that definitely turned you towards education then?
Yes, it did. Because like I said, I thought to myself, if I one day I'm going to be a teacher and I'm going to help these kids overcome all these obstacles that we have because of our culture. Again, think about this. This was 30 years ago.
Yes.
Or however many years. And so then life kept going. I thought about going to college. So here we are in 12th grade. I turn around and I say, Daddy, I really want to go to school. I want to continue going to school. And he said, no, you can't. I said, why not? He says, because you may not leave the house until you're married. I was like, what do you mean? I want to go to school. I really want to go to school and I want to be a teacher. And he said, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. Because if I let you go to school, then people are going to start talking about you.
Which is a huge
thing. Which is a big thing for us. Now, what did he mean by talking about you? Yes, well, so-and-so, Alex from Felsmere lives in Orlando by herself and who knows what she's doing and, you know, that kind
of
thing.
So they just start their own, whatever they wanted to think about, they'd say it and therefore it would.
And if you are one of them, if you're doing something different than the culture tells you to do, they will start talking about you.
They pass judgment.
Oh, yes.
100%. I think a lot of people do that too. Yeah. Like when someone decides they want to change and that change, people don't want the change.
Yes.
So therefore they just start.
Yes.
Whatever they can do to stop the change from happening, they'll do that.
Well, especially when you grow up in a community that is kind of surrounded by the same culture.
Imagine.
You know, that same way if you grow up, you know, you grew up in a, you know, heavily Spanish community, you know, but if you grow up in a Jewish community or, you know.
Agreed. And the thing is that Felsmere is such a small community that everybody knows each other, right?
Yes.
If I'm driving my pickup truck, they'll be like, oh, there's Larry because there's this pickup truck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like they know exactly.
Yeah, for our listeners that haven't been to Felsmere, if we've gotten that far out there. when you go out there, it's definitely its own, you can tell you're in a different place.
Culture.
Yes.
And, but it's a great place to be. I worked out there 11 years and I still, that's my dream is
get
now
some,
to be the principal at Felsmere one day. So
get
I'll be
some
back.
Giuseppe's Pizza.
But, yep. Giuseppe's
I
pizza.
Love, absolutely love Felsmere. I love my kids. I love the town. I love everything about it. But yes, we do have to work on some cultural changes that we need
to make. Do you think, so that was, you said 30 years ago, do you feel like there's been a shift in that type of thing?
Yes. And thank God for that. Yes. I noticed that it's getting better. Mm-hmm. As we go, not as good as I would want it to be, but it's getting better. And going back to my high school, what I was telling you, my dad said, no, no, no. And I was like, I can't believe this. I want to go to school and he doesn't let me go to school. When have you heard a dad say no to school? So then he sets me down and says, Alejandra, the only thing I'm asking you to do is please finish your high school and that's it. Because he said that, because two of my good girlfriends ran away with their boyfriend when we were in 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
So my daddy was afraid that I was going to do the same. But he didn't understand that in my thoughts and in my goals, that wasn't one of my goals. My goals was to become a professional. Mm-hmm. So he looked at me. He says, please, just don't argue with me. Just finish your high school. Please. And that's it.
And in his eyes, I'm just thinking positive on his side. He's probably thinking if I can get her to finish school, that's a success because he has other people stopping at 10th grade and they're gone.
Yes.
Well, not only that, right? But probably like he may not have gone to school here.
No.
Right?
No, so I was the first one to finish high school. I was the first one to graduate out of the whole family.
In the family? Nice.
The whole family.
Yeah.
So huge. For him, that was like...
That was success for him.
That was a very successful thing for me to do.
So then how did you get past that point? He doesn't want you to go to college. So now you've graduated high school.
So now I graduated from high school and I'm still thinking I want to go to school. So I decide to get married.
Okay.
To leave the house.
Okay.
And that way I could go out and do what I want to do, go okay. to school. So, and
did you marry into the culture?
Somewhat. Okay. Half percent.
Okay.
50%. Okay. 50%.
Not as gringo as me.
No, not as gringo, but not as Mexican either.
Okay.
He was 23. I was 18.
Okay.
Okay. And I was like, okay, let's do this. But in my head, I was always thinking, if I leave the house, I can go to school and then I can do what I want to do.
Yep.
Okay. So I got married. Bravo. When my graduation, instead of a graduation party, I had a wedding party or something. They gave me blenders. They gave me all kinds of stuff for the house.
So it was like a twofer, like a graduation party. And
graduation party. And housewarming. Yeah, like I was expecting wedding more shower. Like girly stuff for me. You know, yeah. I'm 18, but no other getting people giving me. The,
blenders and toasters. Great.
Yeah, things like that. Exciting.
Here you go.
La plancha, which I've never used. I don't know why.
You still have it.
I still have it in a box.
The dryer works just fine.
Wait, what did you say? The plancha?
Una plancha.
What is
the iron?
It's an iron. It's an iron.
Oh, you don't iron?
La plancha?
No, I don't.
You have a steamer?
No, I don't steamer.
Good for you.
No, my kids.
If you don't have to iron or steam, you've done something magical.
I don't. It's amazing.
My kids do their own. Yeah, but I do mine.
Araceli does mine.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Very nice. I don't want my husband.
She's a godsend. She works in Felsmere?
She does.
I think I need to. Yeah, when Malia's out of school, we're going to have to talk. I'm going to get connected to Araceli because I feel like it's amazing. I'm tired of ironing.
Don't.
Yeah, Araceli's family now. So
I want to be part of that family. Yeah.
All right, anyway,
Yeah, I don't want my hair spinner here, you guys. So,
husband, when you listen to this, Araceli does it for you.
Yeah,
we're trying. You know, we got one of us we're trying to get 2/3. Yeah. Bring you guys in.
Yeah,
no, I'm good.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, so I get married and I decide, okay, yay, this is good. I'm gonna get married. I finally leave the house, and then I can start what I want. So I go back and I very nicely say, guess what? I'm gonna go to school. And he turned around and said, guess what? You're not. And I was like,
who's this?
My husband.
Okay. I was trying to make sure if it was dad or husband.
He said,
okay.
No, daddy no more. Daddy doesn't. Now you're good. After you're married.
That's what I figured.
You're okay. See, this is another part of the culture that really kicks. Like, I just don't understand. If you're 18, you can, and you're married, they don't get involved in your life. They leave you by, you know, you have a husband, they leave you.
Right then in that moment.
But if you're 30 years old and you're not married, they're on top of you. Like telling you what to do. And like just
now,
like
is that you're only still, for the females? Is that males too?
It's mainly females.
It's mainly us. Yeah. Females. Males pretty much can do whatever they want, even though they're 13, 14, and they can still do whatever.
You're right.
Now, on the teacher side of things,
I don't either. I don't either.
I will say culturally, on the teacher side of things, working there for 11 years, even though they can do whatever they want, I believe that the most Hispanic families teach their children to respect adults.
They do.
Very well.
They do.
It's, and people don't realize, like if you go to Felsmere and teach, like the amount of respect that you get, and it's amazing. It's so that's like a, and so that piece of it is phenomenal, but I can see what you're saying.
Yes,
where
because
it goes
for,
past the line of where you're trying to develop them into.
For our parents, the teacher is always right. Okay. Yes. The teacher is the one that knows, the teacher is the authority, and you just respect.
And all the and teachers you do said, as they amen. Say.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
Now,
so
go ahead.
So going back to now, you're trying to go to school, and your husband's like,
"Now I'm trying. Now I'm married.
Okay.
I'm 18. He's 23. I'm married. I want to go to school." And he turns around and says, "I'm sorry, but you're not."
Very open-minded.
I was like, "Oh my goodness."
So what are you thinking at this point?
Yeah. Well, at this point, I'm like, "Okay, wait a minute."
Was this the day after you got married? No. Was this a week? I'm just kidding.
No, a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. I mean, until you get to, you know,
to
figure out what
you're
doing.
To move
forward. So I thought to myself, I'm an adult now. Okay, I'm out of the house. You know, I can do what I want to do. So he said no. And I turned around. I thought he was joking. I really thought he was joking. And I turned around and I started laughing. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, you're not going. I'm like, Papa, you don't understand. And he said, no, you don't understand. And it took me about 2-3 years to, you know, please, I need to go. I want to go. I want to go. So then we were going to wait 10 years to have our kids because I was going to go to school and get that done and then have my kids in my head.
Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. So 3 years go by and I get pregnant and it wasn't planned. My son always says, no, you didn't love me because you don't plan me. No, it was just not planned. Yeah. So anyway, so I had my first kid. I always thought if I ever had a kid, I was going to have the next one right away because I didn't want to have to deal, you know, do this forever. I wanted to get them out of the way, you know, grown and for me to keep going. So anyway, so we did. After 2 years, I had my second son. So now the obstacle was, oh, now we have kids. You have to stay home. You have to take care of them. You can't go to school with kids.
Oh, I think the opposite. I thought we had a kid. Now you got to go to work for sure. We got to pay for this.
Well, that's what he said. So I believed it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I have to. But in the meantime, I was working. I was the health assistant at Felsmere Elementary.
Okay.
So I don't understand what was the difference, but okay.
So when did you start doing that? The health assistant?
Health assistant. That was maybe when I was about 20.
Okay.
20. When I started, yes. And I went back again as a health assistant, but knowing that if I had my foot in there, one day I could do what I wanted to do. So time went by. My kids started growing up, maybe 6 and 8, something like that. And 10 years later passed. And one day I wake up and I say, you know what? I'm going to school. So let's see what happens. So I sat down, I set him down, and I said, listen, I love you. I love my kids. I love my family. Oh, because prior to that, he always asked me, honey, are you happy with me? Are you happy with me? Like, it was a constant asking, are you happy? And I would say yes, because I was. Uh-huh. Just that part of me was not.
You weren't happy.
I wasn't happy on my professional way. Yes.
Yeah, that, but not.
But rest of the stuff, it was, sure. You know, sure. Okay, no, that makes normal sense. Like anybody else, like yeah. Everybody else's life. So he kept asking and asking. I think he kind of got the idea that I kept saying I want to go to school. And since he kept saying no, he kept reminding me, are you happy? Like, am I doing everything that you want me to do to make you happy? So one day I got from that and I took that. I'm like, yes, this is the time. So I said, you know what? You know how you always ask me if I'm happy? And he's like, yes. I said, well, I'm not. You should have seen his face. His eyes opened this big. His mouth dropped to the floor and he's like, what do you mean? Like, I've been trying. I said, I need to go to school. I have to go to school. This part of me is still there. I can't let go. I have to go to school. So I said, so from now on, I tell you today, I'm going to go to school. If you need to divorce me, go get the papers and I will sign. But this is it. I'm going to school.
But that's how life is sometimes. Sometimes you just got to, reach up and grab it.
Draw the line in the sand.
Yeah. Yes.
You gotta reach up. You gotta take it because ain't nobody gonna give it to you.
Yes.
Yeah,
like that's exactly how it is sometimes. Yes. I mean, and it's harsh and it sounds harsh, but I mean, if he really wants you to be happy, like
exactly,
you're still married, so therefore he
and he knew it
wanted you to be happy.
He knew this from the first day he met me.
And I mean, I can understand kind of like based on maybe culturally. I mean, that's not how my relationship works with my wife, but. I can understand culturally where he might feel like he's giving up something.
Yes, because then we talked about it.
Yeah,
I talked about it.
But I mean, if it makes him grow too, then it's better for everybody.
I asked him. I sat him down and I said, tell me why you don't want me to go to school. Tell me why. Give me one good reason why not.
Uh-huh.
And he turned around and said, that's because my dad told me that I work and I bring in the big check and you stay at home. Or just do a part-time or something. And I'm like, so here we go again.
So it was culture. just because it was what he was taught.
Because of the culture.
I'm trying.
So I have that. I have a question. I have a question for you on that. Yes. So you have two boys.
Two boys, yes.
18, 20, I think you said. How did you go about that, about trying to make sure that you've raised them with a different mindset?
Oh,
or,
yes,
you know, how did that, was that a battle between you and your husband? Or because I'm curious. You know, you're trying
when
to break the
happened,
norm, if you will.
Yes. When that happened, he did not know what to say. I went to school. I took one of my best friends with me and I said, we're going to go to school and we're going to sign up and we're going to go to school. She's like, what? I'm like, just come with me.
How did that first class feel? Were you like scared to death?
I was scared.
Or were you excited?
I was the oldest one in there.
Yes.
Everybody was 18, 17. And here I am 30, who knows what.
I've gone back to school late too.
So was I. Yeah.
It does definitely, it's intimidating just in the fact that you feel like you probably should have done this earlier in life.
Like everybody's looking at you like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I almost went back to Florida Institute of Technology for, I was going to try and get my master's. And the professor that I was talking to, he was like, you know, our best students are in the, like mid-20s to 30s. Yes,
definitely.
Because they pay attention. They know what they want. They come in and
they're paying for it and they want.
They're paying for their own education.
If they're not paying for cash, they're definitely paying with time. And by that point in your life, you know how valuable time is.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it many times on this podcast. You know, it's the one commodity you can't get back.
Yes. So you're not playing around. You go and you do what you have to do.
Yeah. It's completely, I feel like it's a completely different experience than when you go when you're 17, 18 years old.
Yes.
Completely agree. Yep. So
knowing that I went at 18, 19, I didn't really give it the effort I probably should have, especially for the amount of money I was spending. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah.
And going later in life for my master's.
Yeah.
You know, my GPA shows you a difference too.
Yeah. You know, you meant business when you were going for your master's.
Yeah. You're like I have goals. I have dreams. I have. Yeah. Yes. So
how's that going?
All right. So on a side note. So on a side note, so you and your friend went up and you guys signed up for your classes.
So both of them, we went in and the lady's like, can I help you? I said, yes, I want to go to cool school. And she's looking at me like, okay, you're here. Well, what do? I had no clue what to do. I had no clue what to do.
Was she helpful?
Very helpful.
Oh, thank God, because I've ran into both.
Really?
At our local state college. I've gone down there before and they've been like, why are you here?
Yes.
And then I've also gone and had the complete opposite experience. Like they will walk you through the process and understand that you know nothing.
Yes. Yeah, she did. She was very helpful. She took me to take that test. Finally, I was like, I don't even know what I want to do, but I'm going to do what I have to do. So anyway, so my friend and I go in. She didn't even know that she was going to pay because she didn't even know what we were doing. Because I told her, come, you're coming with me. Uh-huh. So the lady's like, okay, it's $300 and some for the first two classes. And then whatever exam we did. Uh-huh. And she's like, Alex, I don't have any money. I said, use your credit card. It's okay. You'll pay it later.
It'll be fine. That's typically mine and Corey's stance. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll work this out later.
Don't worry about it. We're going to go to school. This is going to change your life. Just use your credit card.
That's what we said.
She's like, are you sure, Alex? I'm like, you don't trust me? Yes, I do. Okay, then go for it. Well, now she has her master's.
Wow.
Nice. Awesome. I was going to ask. I was going to say,
that's
that inspiration. Okay.
Yeah. She has her master's.
What did she go to school for?
She now works at Kaiser College.
So she,
So she's a professor.
She is a professor.
That's awesome.
What? Yes, where did she get her master's in? Education or something else?
Education and business. She got two.
Okay.
Business.
Oh, not only one, but two masters. Yes. Right on. Good for her.
Yeah. And she got a job with it.
And she is very happy. And she always reminds me, Alex, remember that day you made me go? And I'm like, yeah. And I was going to pay $300 with my credit card. I said, well, now you can pay it 3, 4, 5 times with no problem.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, right? I mean, that's kind of the point of your story.
Yes.
Is because, that? Yeah.
Because, I mean, look what this, what she did. And she's not the only one. I have a sister that is an RN.
Okay.
And I have another sister that is business and management.
Do you feel that they would actually have gone through without you? Like without you blazing the path?
They always tell me that I'm the person that inspired them to do what they did.
Nice.
So I believe it because I was always making sure that.
So you were the first to graduate high school. Were you the first to graduate college? Then
yes.
In your family? That's awesome.
Yes. That is awesome.
Because you went back. So how much older are you than your sister? Is an RN.
She's 26. Okay. I'm 41.
So by the time you were graduating college, was she out of high school at that point?
No, she was still in high school and she was watching
me go
through
it. So it's an excellent example for her. Yes.
So how did your dad react with her?
My daddy.
Did you break any barriers with him?
My daddy passed away when he was 45.
I'm sorry.
So he didn't get to see me. He didn't get to see my two sisters. And that really kills me because I would have loved for him to see what I went through and what I did and to make him proud.
Yeah. To kind of show him that, you know, you were able
that
to
it's
do
okay.
It. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's understandable. Was your mom there?
My mom was there and she's still alive. So she knows. And And after I decided to go back to school, I want to tell you something that happened to me after going, because that's not the end of it. I still have some obstacles that came through me. I go back to school, and then one day I'm working as a health assistant at school. And one day somebody goes to my house, knocks on my door. There's five people outside my door. And they say to me, Ms. Endejas, is this your writing on an envelope? And I'm thinking to myself, what? And I said, no, sir. And a policeman was also there. So I was like, no, what are you talking about? They're like, okay, well, we need to see some kind of writing so we can compare the writing with your writing. And I was like, okay. So I gave him my paperwork, blah, blah, blah. It comes to be that somebody sent envelopes or a survey out talking bad about our principal at that time, and they said it was me. So here I am going back to school part-time because I'm working.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I couldn't afford to go full-time. I had a job, thank God, which I was paying for my college. And when those people come to my house and they say, by 4 o'clock, if you don't tell us who told you to do this, you're fired.
That doesn't seem
I right. did not. I had no clue what was going on. Never, ever. To be honest with you, I was a health assistant.
Yeah.
How do I know about teachers? How do I know about unions? How do I know about principals? I don't know. I'm only doing my job.
Yeah.
So my kids are little. They're crying because the policeman is there. So they don't know what's going on. And they're yelling at me. And I'm like crying. And I don't know what to do. And I feel like, What is going on? So 4 o'clock came. I didn't have a name. And I was fired.
You were fired from a health assistant.
Yes. So I didn't have a job anymore. Nobody explained to me what happened. Nobody explained to me why. Nobody explained to me nothing. Now, I had a hearing. But guess what? Ms. Endejas did not know what a hearing was. So I didn't want to go to a hearing because I thought, if these people are accusing me of something that I didn't do and I'm being honest with them and I go to a hearing, are they going to arrest me? I don't want to go to jail for something I didn't do.
Understood.
So yeah, I stayed home.
That's very confusing. Why law?
Very confusing.
Why law enforcement were involved?
I still, to this day, do not understand.
District? Like yes. A school district hearing?
Yes. Okay. The big people in the school district came to me at that time.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
That's interesting.
I mean, not to say it didn't happen. I'm not discounting your story at all. It just doesn't, you know, it sounds like abuse of power to me, but
yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't there. So
I remember hearing the story, but I didn't know any of the details.
Yes. Yeah. So when that happens, I cry for like 3 months and then I get up I say, you know what? I'm going to prove to these people who I am, that I did not steal nothing from them, and that I'm going to go into Felsmer and I'm going to teach in Felsmer. So here we go again. Now I didn't have my dad. I didn't have my husband on back of me, but now I had this situation where I lost my job and now the district doesn't want to hear from me because I'm a thief.
Hmm.
So
what they were saying, you stole something?
I stole envelopes from property of Felsmere Elementary School.
That's why they got law enforcement involved. They tried to find some loophole or something.
Still weak.
Yes, very weak. It would not hold up in court.
Hey, guys, I will buy you some envelopes.
Yeah.
And I'll put Felsmere on them. Yeah. Because I guess that was the big deal.
Okay.
So anyway, so at that time, of course, I'm devastated. I don't know what to do. There was this one person that I asked. At that moment, it was very important for me to find out this person's opinion. And I asked, do you believe in me? Do you know that I didn't do it? And that person said, yes, I believe you. And when that person said, I believe you, I said, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to prove. If one person believed in me, then I'm going to prove to that person that it wasn't me. So I went and got a lawyer. The lawyer said, sure, I'll give you your job back. Pay me $10,000. Just to start your case. Making $7,000 a year.
Seems reasonable.
So I was like, okay, so I'm going to be working for a whole year to get my job back.
Well, and then you're going to owe him next year.
And then I'm going to owe him next year because how long is this going to take? So I sat down and I said, okay, so I don't want to sue the school board because I live here. My kids are going to go to school here. So I don't want to sue nobody. I just want people to understand that it wasn't me and that I just want to work. That's all I want to do. So time went by. I got all my paperwork, all my stuff together, went to the lawyer. He said, you know, $10,000. I said, no, I can't. So I came back and decided to go back to school full time. Well, the lady at the school said, well, you have two kids. You're not working and you're married. You can get scholarships. I said, wow, let's do it. So I got my scholarships. I went back to school full time. I didn't work. So I finished my class. I graduated. I went to take my test, my exam test, did not pass it.
It's a very hard test.
It's a very hard test.
After all that, I didn't pass my test by 1 point.
Okay.
$200, $250, mm-hmm. You pay for that test and you go and take it. Didn't pass it. Took it again. Didn't pass it. 2 points. At this point in my life, I was like, I think I'm just going to have to quit because I can't pass that test. I've been studying and they just tell me that I overthink questions.
So
how do you overthink questions?
How many times did it take?
That's really helpful, right?
Do I really have to say the number?
No. Did it okay. Couple more times?
Yes.
Okay. But so for listeners out there that might be teachers in Florida, especially, the state exam is very difficult. So just know, yeah, it's
six times
really hard.
But I mean,
six times.
But that's okay.
That's the first time I say it out loud.
Absolutely, that's life. Though sometimes you go for 7, 8 interviews and you don't get hired. Like maybe it's the 9th or 10th.
But listen, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Honestly, is that for me, the way I look at it is that it took you six times.
Six times.
However, you didn't give up.
No, I didn't.
Listen,
I did at the halfway.
And nor should you.
I wanted to.
Listen, nor should you, even if it does take you 9 or 10 interviews.
I'm on my 18th interview for a position that I want. And I'm about to put in for the 19th time. So
that's impressive.
I'm still 19 interviews in. And it's great when they call you in and you do your 19th interview in a row and you're like, wow, this means a lot, you know, because you know the questions at this point. You've been through it, right?
Sure.
I mean,
I can relate.
It doesn't make
the 8th and 9th.
It doesn't make you feel any better when they're like, yeah, not this time. But you can't let stuff like that distract you or get you off of your game, if you will. Like stuff like that is just, those are the small road bumps. The large ones are, you know, when the cops are knocking at your door or your significant other says, you know, they don't want you to go or your culture doesn't let you. Those are the big ones.
Those are harder.
Those self ones that, you know, you just got to deal with on a mental, that's just a mental callus that you had to build up. And eventually when you get past, you know, that 9th, 10th, 11th, then, I mean, hopefully you never have to get there. But, you know, when you do,
I think you become somebody different in a good way. Like
you do.
Yes. You've learned so much through you those do. Failures, even though in the moment you're pissed.
Yes, very.
Like, what the
and
hell?
I don't even necessarily think it's a failure, though. I think a failure is selling it too. That's giving it too much credit. Because it's
an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience. Yeah.
Agreed. I think that's the term, right? Because you fail forward. So when I say fail, meaning you didn't get it, but yet you learned.
It's a learned lesson.
I can tell you right now, from my first interview to my 8th interview, I can interview way better than I used to.
Yeah.
It's that in itself.
You're right. You're right. But at
time,
the time, it was so hard because everybody was waiting.
Yeah, everybody's
for that
looking
moment
at you.
To
they're,
pass.
They're waiting for your score.
Exactly.
Everybody that loves you and has got your back
exactly.
at that point. Which,
my kids were
waiting.
Pressure. My husband was waiting.
The pressure,
my family was
the anxiety
waiting.
No pressure. In.
So everybody was waiting for that moment.
So when the 6-1 comes, I mean, the sigh of relief got to be like.
When I passed,
Patron
I cried.
Time.
Yeah, that's
cried.
Patron.
I passed at God's time.
Yes.
I'm telling you that.
Yeah.
And then,
because it was when he decided that it was going to be.
And then it was Patron time?
No, not yet. Patron is when I was
get the
40,
job.
I started.
Right. Okay.
That's another thing. So when I passed, you don't understand. My husband got me flowers, my kids. We had a party.
Absolutely.
Party because I finally had passed. So I passed. So I went ahead and applied for Felsmer Elementary because obviously that was my dream place to work, which where I work now. And I apply, and there's this question on the application that says, have you ever been fired? Not in those words, but, you know, professional words.
That's a great
Have you
one.
Ever been fired from the school board?
Check yes.
Yes or no?
That's tough. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It took me a week and a half.
Was it a different administration at this point?
No. The principal there, yes. It was a different person.
Okay.
But the people up there in the district, no, I don't know.
Okay.
So yes or no? Took me a week and a half to think, should I say yes? Should I say no? Should I lie? Should I say the truth? When I was honest, nobody believed me. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah, because I don't think many people probably...
I...
If you say no, they probably just pass over it.
So would you
do? I get that. Go ahead. What'd you put?
No.
So after a while, I decided and change? I said no. So I lied.
Okay.
Okay. So I was waiting because I knew it was coming. I'm lying. You never, you know, consequences.
Yeah.
So Dr. His name from the school board calls me and says, Mrs. Endejas, yes, sir. Did you apply for it? Yes, I did. You lied in your application. And I said, yes, I did. I lied. Because when I said the truth, nobody believed me. So could you please give me a moment and give me a meeting? Give me a place and date and time so I can go and explain to you why I said no. And give me a chance to explain myself now that I'm older and I can understand what was going on. So he said, sure, come tomorrow at 10 a.m. sharp.
And this is a school board?
This is a school board.
Okay.
I go. I take all my paperwork with me. I laid it all down from the first day to the last day of this nightmare. And I said, this is what happened to me. This is what I went through. The only thing I'm asking you is to let me teach and do what I love to do. I want to be able to change people's lives. I want to be able to guide my kids, my people, my students to a better life. Because if I did it, anybody else can do it. He looked at me and he said, you're talking with your heart. I said, yes, I am. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but I am talking to you with my heart. He gave me his hand and said, you're going to teach.
That's
and
awesome.
I started teaching.
That's fantastic.
And isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And with that, so blessed. I do have two questions from Facebook that I got to ask.
So he to clarify, he put a question out like, what would you ask any teacher? If you could ask a teacher, what would you ask?
It's nothing crazy. Okay. The first one, you've already answered. Remember, one. You can, Matt Feely, she's not single. She's married.
No, but I think Matt Feely's question was, if you are going to ask a teacher, if you want to know if they're single or not, is that an acceptable question to ask your child's teacher?
Yes, that's a good point.
If you're, no. I'll answer that one for you.
The answer is no.
No.
Is that inappropriate?
You don't like go to like a teacher conference?
Yeah.
And just like, hey, you single?
What's going on? You single?
No. Awkward.
Not okay. Matt Feely.
No,
the
not
is no.
really. No.
Okay. You Matt Feely, there's that. No way that.
I feel like there. If you wanted to know that answer, you could find it in a more, I don't know, less creepy way.
I don't know.
Yeah, that would be awkward.
You could just, I don't know. I feel like there's a better way around.
If you I feel like he just found out.
Yeah, Matt, that's creepy.
So all right, so number two.
Matt, listen, it's a legitimate question. You asked it, we asked, now we all know.
Yeah, so now number two.
Next question.
Here's the other question, is when you are giving a review of a child,
mm-hmm. when you why say review, why is it? Mean?
The conference. Parent.
Oh, like feedback to the parent, gotcha.
So when you're doing a conference night, how is it that you, why is it that you would start off with, your child is doing awesome, but... And this right. and this is asked by Rosa Medina.
Yes. So okay, first of all, when I have a conference, I go face to face to the parent and I remind them that this is teamwork. That it is just them, me, and the child. And yes, you start with something positive because every kid has something positive to say. Exactly. Everybody, every child learns. They just learn in a different way in a different time. Mm-hmm. So, for me, that's not hard to say. Because I've seen it. I've lived it. I was a child. So I know that it happens. So it's not hard for me to say, your child is great. I love to have her in class. She is this, this, this. I give out the good stuff. And I say, and we also need to work on these areas to make her a better student, a better person, or a better in whatever she wants to be.
Okay. Awesome.
So, can I add to that?
Yes.
So I think what she said is exactly right. I think too, if you think about the psychology of just humans, if you were told like about your kid, like the first thing you went right to the negative thing, you're shutting down. Like mentally, yes, you're probably going to put a block up.
Yes.
And like she said, every student has a strength or something to build on. So I think if you highlight those strengths, because every kid has one, more than one, to be honest. And then you take to it. It's more, I think parents will then become more accepting that because everybody has something to work on.
As the last question that we have here, based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give to all of our listeners?
I have a lot, but the one that I really would love for everybody to take is no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter circumstances in life, no matter your experiences, you can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you are, whatever your goal is, whatever your dream is, you can do it. Yes, there's going to be obstacles everywhere and every time, but if you stop, if you quit, you're never going to get there.
Awesome. Alejandra, you're awesome.
We appreciate it for sure.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
What an inspiration.
By the way, I said the name right.
Yes, it is.
Alejandro Zentejas.
We appreciate you listening. If you guys got any questions, comments, concerns, you can get us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us at fullgorillalife. Also the same on Facebook at fullgorillalife. And on Twitter at gorillafull, like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
Please also visit our website at fullgorilla.life. And please do not forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app of choice.
Later.